Now let's continue again today what we have been teaching on the man and his identity by reading once again from the book of Philippians. Now, I'm going to conclude that discussion today. So I'll just read a number of scriptures that we have read before and refer to some other ones. The book of Philippians chapter 3. Now, I will try and quickly get down to where I really want to bring my emphasis from. This was what we read last time. Let's just start from verse 1. It said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evildoers, beware of the false circumcision." He said, "We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Then he went ahead to describe the kind of thing that gave him the reason to even think about putting confidence in the flesh. He said, "If anybody has that reason, it's me, because I was circumcised on the 8th day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. And as to the righteousness which is of the law, I was found blameless. Now these are all the things that were gained to me." He said, "But whatever things were gained, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Now, because of time, please, let's quickly rush down. And I went down in verse 17. He said, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us, for many of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite or their belly, and whose glory is in their shame," that is, their boasting of things they should be ashamed of. He said, "who set their minds on earthly things." Now, we don't set our mind on earthly things, or we are not supposed to. In verse 20 said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Now, having read that quickly, let's read one more portion of the scripture, and then I'll continue my teaching and begin to conclude the whole series. The book of John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and said, "Rabbi," that's in verse 2, "we know that you have come from God as a teacher. We know this because the things that are following you, the signs you do, no one can do them unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus now asked that famous question. And Jesus answered in verse 5, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, my emphasis is verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Now, let me just quickly summarize everything we have said up to this particular point, and I want to make a number of points for today. Now, there's one other scripture we have read several times, and I don't want to read it again today so as not to take a lot of our time. That's in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It said there that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, "Henceforth we know no man after the flesh. All we know is that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and all the things in his life, they have become new." Now, I want to get a point. Well, let me review some of the things that we said before, and then I'll go into the main thing I want to say as is kind of summary today. Remember what we said? Let me just highlight those points again. Your knowledge of your identity is what determines how life responds to you. There is a true identity and there is a false identity. Don't forget that. Everybody has an identity, and that's what dictates what life gives to the person. But more importantly than the real identity is your knowledge of that real identity. That is, there are two things. You can have an identity and not know it. God may make you into something and you don't know exactly what he made you to be. or you can assume something that you really are not. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? And we said that the reasons why people have wrong impressions of themselves, like Paul said, that we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. One of the reasons we said is when people have titles that are not their own. Do you understand my point? They confer a title upon you, and that title is not your own. And I give extensive examples, all right, from ministry matters. If you call a man apostle, he does not know the meaning of the word apostle, all right, or God hasn't given you any special calling. But because he works in a church or an organization where they promote people based on faithfulness to the organization, and part of the promotion is giving you titles, you know, I mean, I don't mean, like I said before, please get me clear. I don't like to be critical. I don't want to say things that won't edify people. I only wish to, all right, help people have direction in life, all right? Now, so please, try and, I don't like to be critical. It doesn't edify, really, all right? Now, but as a matter of fact, a lot of our churches, our denominations, it's easy. You can work your way up to becoming a pastor. I don't mean that as being critical. It just is clean observation. I am saying it with integrity of my heart. Do you understand my point? You can scheme. I've seen people try such things. You scheme, and eventually you know you will be promoted, and one day you will be called a pastor. It has nothing to do with calling. Now, when people like that reach that office, some of the people who fight for that, they think, they assume some things about the office, all right? Now, unfortunately for them, when they reach that, all right, the person now tries to perform the function that really are due to that office, and God takes offense at that. That's a matter of fact. The reason why he killed Uzzah was Uzzah touched the ark, and he was not empowered to touch the ark. You understand what I mean? So it's very important. So when people take titles that are not their own, it gives them wrong impressions of themselves, and they begin to think more highly than they ought to think of themselves. We also said that another way by which people get wrong identities is by association. That these people just believe that, okay, if I'm part of this thing, I name the name. So you say, this is the church I go to, therefore I'm sure of heaven. And this just to let you know, I've noticed a lot. Human beings generally, they like organized religion. Now, Christianity actually transcends organized religion. That's a matter of fact. Now, so Christians also practice that thing. They find more security in naming a denomination. All right? Orthodox people do it, if you know what I mean, all right? That's our older denominations. And even Pentecostals have begun to do it. There are people who feel very superior, all right, to other people because of the particular kind of church that they go to. All those things constitute arrant nonsense. Is that okay? What matters is your personal relationship with God, is not the church you go to. So those are amongst the most important ways people get wrong identities. There's another silly way people get identity, which is very wrong, which you talked about, is identity of what? Possession. I have this, I have that. So you think people should respect you and accord the respect that is not really due to your person. All right? That's because you have a wrong impression. When the Bible says, Jesus said it very clearly, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, that's very clear. So those are the wrong places where we get identities from. But what are the right places we're supposed to get our identities from? We said, number one, you get your identity from where? Number one, your origin. And number two, your purpose in life, which is shown by your gifts and your callings. And there's something I didn't add to it. It was later when I was thinking, I realized I pull that one out. There's a kind of identity that comes from the kind of position that you hold. There's a reason why I'm saying that, because I'm going to discuss that one briefly today. Now, you can use it wrongly, you can use it rightly. The wrong way is when you have human positions, you forget that they are transient. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Now, so people like the word X, you know, a man walked to my office one day. He needed a favor from me. Not a big thing. I would have respected him because he was an old man. All he had to do was walk in and say, Doc, they say I should see you. You can do this for me. And I would have said, no problem, sir. What do you want me to do? But he took my hand and began to shake my hand. I am so, so, and so, and so. He's a traditional ruler somewhere. No problem. Former minister of this, former commissioner of this, former chairman of this, he formed for the next 1 minute. He was telling me all the positions in life he had occupied. And I felt like telling him, sir, apparently you're not doing anything right now, because, you know, all you have to tell me stories of former positions that you occupied. Is that okay? Now, sometimes people mistakenly, or I think that, let me just say that briefly. The position you occupy amongst people is very, very transient. Do you understand? What is more important, like I said before, is what you really are. You can be a minister today, or a federal minister. Tomorrow, you are not a minister. You can be a president today, and the following day, you are not a president. So, you see, your position doesn't give you a permanent identity. All right? is what you really are. If inside you are a leader of men, whether you are a president or not, people will still respect you for what you are. Are you getting my point? How many of you remember the story of Mahatma Gandhi? Mahatma Gandhi never really took any political office in India then, but he was more powerful than their president or prime minister, whichever one they were using, because he was indeed in himself a leader of men. He had sacrificed himself and he was accorded the respect that his, let me use the word, spirit carried. All right? So there's no way I'm talking about that position. That's the wrong way you use position. But then in the realm of the spirit, which is again something that has to do with your origin, the position you hold in the realm of the spirit, all right, also gives you an identity. Is that all right? But what you should focus on, most importantly, is your origin and your calling in life. Those are the things that give you the true identity for your life. Those are the things I've been explaining. So that I just want to summarize that. And I said that your origin and your calling, they are the true origins of identity. But you can also use that wrongly. Remember that? I said if you take, that's why we read that John chapter 3. There is this fleshly origin. We read from that Philippians chapter 3, in which Paul explained that our citizenship is from above. And I said that a Christian derives his boast, his identity, only from what he is or she is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that point? That Jesus made you to be something. He took you, you know, we're talking about position. He took you from a particular position and brought you into another position. And that is what should be more important to you in life than anything else. Are you getting my point? You must never, listen, follow the world into taking your identity from those wrong things. Even your natural titles, even though they are real, for example, you're a lawyer and they call you barrister this, as a believer, you don't really derive your true identity from that. Are you getting the point I am making? It's very important. If you see in life these days, people like titles. Everybody is fighting to be a title. Everybody is fighting for it. When people acquire money, the first thing they do with their money is to go and donate to one university so that they can give them a title. As a Christian, even though your title is genuine, you don't really derive pride from it. Please, it's important. What the Bible says is that what should make you happy, what you should boast about, is only what God made you to be. I hope you're getting what I'm explaining. That's what you should boast about. What God made you to be, not what, all right, you human beings recognize you for. Are you following my point? Because I said something earlier, in the realm of the spirit, that's what resounds. That is what resounds. Life is spiritual. Let me say it again. Life is what? Very spiritual. People can call you doctor, humanly speaking, and Satan will call you sick man. Do you understand? God looks at you, look at that sick fellow. On the outside, people are looking at you and say, this man is a doctor, but in heaven, they say, this man, all he's doing is what? Spreading disease about. There's no health in his system. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. So what's more important, is that okay? Is that you focus on that which God really made you to be. Don't take your boast in anything human. You know, let me tell you something. Certificates, if you don't need them, don't try to acquire them. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Really. You know, Christianity is very interesting. People, the world tries to do things in a particular way. Everybody's looking for certificates just so that they can get other promotion in the office, you know. The other day I was in my office, we were discussing. You know, civil service, you see old women going to write WASC or NECO, and some of them paying people to write it for them. I said, well, I said, because they're on level 3, and government won't promote you before level 3, beyond level 3, except you get a certificate. You know what I'm saying? So people just try. Now, I'm bringing out something here. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to school. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not what I'm going to explain. I'm saying that Christianity is that you look beyond the paper. You go for what? The what? The learning. The knowledge. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. The world, that's what they do. They try to, you know, people, I've seen people write titles before and you'll be embarrassed for them. That obviously, in yourself, you are nothing. If you were, you won't need to tell us the course you attended 16 years ago, a course, a four-month course. You put it there in front of your, you attended this course. You keep on adding one thing after the other. The fact is that you are not impacting something into anybody's life. That's why you need all those, it's just to make you laugh. I have a chief, he's a military officer. You know, in front of his name, you see MNI, PSC, Well, they used to have three of them. When the military was in power, we knew all of them that time. FSS, PSC, MNI. So it was my chief. We were in the same office. So when they entered the office, another of our chiefs was now hailing him, called his name and started reading his those of you are in medical line, you understand what I'm going to say. Started reading his titles. He said, FSS, PSC, MNI, STD, HIV, EBV. He was using all the three-letter abbreviations we have in medicine for all kinds of diseases and adding after his name. It was a joke that day. The man literally was FSS, PSC, MNI. I mean, he was a senior military officer. He retired as a general, all right, well, equivalent in the Navy. Now, what is it that? So, see, well, they have very long titles because they just want to impress you. Some of them, we had one man that was he held a position in our hospital, an administrative position. The CMD's titles were few, MBBS, maybe FWACP, and another one, maybe on American distinct of surgeons. If you see the other man I'm telling you about, he had things that would be like ABCDSIZA, that's one, comma, then ABF, then later when I finally found the things that he was, he's a member of one long association, he's a fellow of another association, he's an associate holder of another diploma. He was the least educated of those on the board, but he had the longest degrees. Which, when you look at it closely, it meant nothing. We need those things because we really are not impacting anything into the lives of people. Are you getting my point? As believers, listen, this is what you need. Two things. Number one, a recognition, that's what I'm emphasizing, of what God made you to be. I will discuss that a bit in details. I said earlier that you were in a particular position, then God took you from that position and brought you to another position. There's a problem with recognizing your identity from the flesh. I'll tell you that briefly. The Bible says that all flesh is grass. Don't ever forget that. And the goodliness, it didn't say the bad things thereof. What did it say? The good things thereof, they are like what? The flowers of the field. The flower withers and the flower fades. When the breath of God blows upon it. You know what that means? Even the good things that you have naturally, listen to me, they will fail you at a particular point in time when you need them the most. Are you getting my point? If you think you are intelligent, one day your intelligence will vanish from you while you are watching it. It will grow wings, fly away. You will become so foolish, you won't believe it. Maybe you think you're a very smart person. Maybe you're a lawyer. One day you'll be in trouble. You won't know how to bail yourself out. Especially those who think they know people. Identity from associations. These natural things, they fail. And this interesting part, I said earlier, that they don't fail because they like to fail. Why do they fail? When the breath of God blows upon them, that God has a duty, a responsibility, he blows periodically. Now, the mistake we made concerning the flesh is that we think that flesh is a bad side. If I'm lazy, I should stop being lazy. You know what God said? Even if I'm hardworking, I shouldn't think that guarantees anything. Are you getting the point I'm making? Even if I have all the knowledge of health practices, it doesn't guarantee long life. I told the story before that once one of my chiefs tried to tell me how dangerous Nigeria was and how I made the wrong decision coming to Enugu. One of my senior profs. So we're talking. So he had a very nice car. Very good car at that. He said he doesn't fly in Nigeria because flying in Nigeria is very risky. I said, so what do you do? He said he drives himself. That's why he has a very good car. I said, sir, what about bad roads? He said, that's why he doesn't use a driver. He knows he's a good driver. I said, what about all these boys that carry guns and shoot people on the road? He said, that's how come he carries a gun. And he showed me the gun. I thought about it in my heart there and there. I said, okay, you have no faith. You have no faith at all. That one is even, God can settle down very easily. Truck will fail brake and run into you. What are you going to do? No, truck. The brake will fail and it will crush you. Look, there's a story. A friend of mine told me, he read it in a book, true stories of real experiences about a young woman who was going on, living a wild life, and the mother was trying to teach her the ways of God. And she felt like, look, this is my mom, eh? You are old school. One day she and her friends were going on a trip. And the mother called her and said, look, my daughter, you have to take God with you on every trip, especially this one. The woman had a bad feeling about the trip. And the girl said, either a girl or a boy. Anyway, said to the mother, if God wants to go on this trip, he has to stay in the boot because there's no space in this car. True story. Well, they left on the trip. And God heard her words. And God stayed where? In the boot. Thank you. Then they began to travel. Along the line, one truck came. Well, they had an accident. Terrible accident. Everybody died. Their bones were broken to pieces. And there was a crate of eggs in the boot. Not one cracked. Do you hear what I said? A small crate of eggs in the boot. Part of the things they kept there. And not one cracked. As if God wanted to say, I stayed in the boot. And if I watch over anything, it wouldn't break. I watched over my son on the cross. I said, not one of his bones will be broken. They beat him. Not one bone cracked. I stayed in the boot. Egg did not crack. All flesh is grass. Princess Diana was in a top-range Mercedes-Benz. Had an accident in one of the top countries of the world, in France, and they couldn't save her life. All flesh is what? Grass. The mistake we make is that when we say all flesh is grass, we think that you are saying that don't think of the flesh is unreliable, as if all the bad things of life. No. He said you don't even take identity from the good things of life. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? When Paul talked about attaining Christ, what he was saying is that God has done something in your life concerning everything you can ever imagine. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that thing is only packaged in Christ Jesus. It's not packaged in your certificates. It's not packaged in your skill. The Bible says that only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. The Bible says that safety is of the Lord. So as a Christian, as a child of God, if you are thinking of anything for your life concerning yourself, the first thing you think about is what God has said about you. Your identity is in Christ. That's why I tell you that people say that, go and have your children abroad. You give them an opportunity, a chance in life. I don't get the point. That's all I want to say. I don't know what else to say about it. The child born in Malawi, are you getting my point? Can make it to become anything in life. Usain Bolt, where was he born? Jamaica. The young man now, you know why I love people like him? He now competes against himself. He's tired of competing against people. He's 20-something, 24 or so. And now he competes against himself. He has beaten everybody. The idea now is, I set this record last time. Let's see whether next time we can set another record. But as whether he'll beat everybody else, that's no longer in contention at all. Nobody doubts that one. He's going to beat you. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. But where did each country come from? Jamaica. People tell me that you give your children a chance. To what? So I'm going to have my children in America or England because I want to give them a chance. I'm sorry to say, I don't like to sound like Mr. Know-All or insult people. But I think that it's a very myopic way of thinking. People move all over the world without being born anywhere. You understand what I'm going to say? One of the richest men in Britain is an Arab. Look, listen. Let's forget those things. People think that, what I'm going to bring up is that flesh cannot guarantee you anything at all. It can't. And don't be stupid trying to put your hope in it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? However, God has spoken a word about your life. He has. What guarantees the believer's destiny, all right, is what God said about him. For example, don't forget my scripture, Isaiah 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. To me, that's a word that guarantees my future security. It has nothing to do with where I was born naturally. It has nothing to do with the country I'm living in. I don't take my identity, do you understand, from natural things. This course you studied in school or did not study cannot in any way guarantee a future for you. It can't. So if you pick identity by those things, all right, what's happening is this. Listen, I said something earlier about flesh. The problem with flesh is what? There's a word I want to use for it. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Yeah, good. I got it. The problem with flesh is limitation. Yes, that's what the word I was looking for. Is what? Limitation. It's limited. It can only go thus far. That's the problem with the flesh. And when we say flesh, don't forget, I didn't say bad thing. I'm not saying lying and stealing. That's not what flesh is. Flesh just means that which is natural. Are you getting my point? It is limited. It is limited. The skill that a man has in himself, the wisdom that a man has in himself, is limited in what it can produce. I hope you are following the point I'm making. Let me tell you something. Just explain what I'm saying. You know, you see me, you hear me use the word a lot, blessing. The word what? Blessing. And what did I say about blessing? I said, when we want to explain blessing in colloquial terms, we call it what? Luck. There's no man who made it in life that's not lucky. None. It's not possible. There's nobody in life that made it and luck was not crucial. I don't want to say some things, you know, because a lot of people listen to me and they are recorded. You remember what I said about Richard Branson? I read his book, that is a biography. All right? And you look at it, this guy is just a lucky man. And when I saw the intensity of luck that was in his life, I said, God must have a purpose for his life. A serious purpose. Except that, I don't want to say it on there, I think of it in a particular fashion. Because once that book was written, his life became a testimony of something, and I don't think God will like that. He will go, I knew of Richard Branson before I knew about his businesses. I knew about his funny escapades, flying around the world in a hot air balloon, you know, stuff like that. When I read the story in the book, most times he survived by sheer luck, just chance. He should have died. He himself says something that if people ever talk about a miracle, this was a miracle. The time he entered into a particular jet stream and was going at a speed that he didn't know was possible. And that speed was required if they wouldn't have to ditch in the center of the Pacific Ocean. So if you talk about miracles, that's a miracle. And the same man would talk that there's no God. I said, you're very stupid. When I was young, I knew of British Caledonia. Then later I heard of British Airways. I thought, until I read Richard Branson's book, I didn't know that British Airways swallowed up British Caledonia. I thought Caledonia changed its name. I thought the official national carrier of Britain was British Caledonia. I didn't know British Airways swallowed up British Caledonia. They wrecked them and then swallowed them up. Now, Virgin was the first airline to fight them to a standstill. And when you read his story again, come on, you have to be lucky. Nobody, listen to me, nobody in life succeeds without that thing called luck. Except that, you read in Ecclesiastes, it says, time and chance happens to all men. He said, the race is not the swift, the battle is not the strong, and all of that. It's time and chance. That's what he's saying. Except that, Paul says, explain something, Romans chapter 9. Luck is not by chance. I don't know what I'm saying. It doesn't happen sporadically. Luck is when God pours favor in your direction. Luck is when God opens a door. He said it is of God that shows what? Mercy. There's good luck and there's what? Bad luck. You understand what I'm saying? That is, there's nothing on earth, physically speaking, that guarantees which one will happen to you. Only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. Human beings tell you, look, if you want to have, healthy children, make sure that you and your wife are not both AS. You've heard that before? All right? That's what we doctors say. Let me tell you something about making judgments as Christians. That natural knowledge, I'm not saying it's evil, I'm not saying it's wrong. They're actually factually correct. But please listen to this. Be careful you don't build your life upon them. I know what I'm saying. My friend told me a story. His wife told me a story about her mother, whom, when her father wanted to marry, one of her uncles wanted to marry. The woman being very influential, you know, these women that took care of their family, their mother died early or their parents died early, and she took care of everybody. So it's very, very powerful in the house, like a mother of everybody. He said, you can't marry this girl because one of her legs is slightly shorter than the other one. So she has a dip. And they didn't marry. Then she married somebody else who didn't have that at all. And their first two children, exactly. No, did you hear what I said? That is, their first two children had short limbs that the woman said, don't marry that girl because of that. She married somebody that did not have it. Their first two children, exactly, short limbs. I hope you are hearing the point I'm making. As Christians, be careful. Be very careful. Nothing natural. Eh? If you want, listen, your safety, the Bible says, is what? Of the Lord. There can't be. You know, I'm a doctor. I've seen children born and who died with diseases that if they died, nobody diagnosed. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. This is how you build your life. When you want to think about prosperity, please. In fact, on money matters, and God is helping me these days. Look, right now, you know what I want to do? Any fixed asset I have, all right, that's not generating anything, I want to sell it and eat the money. I'm not joking. No, sell it. Share the money. Do good. Do everything. I said, you have only two things to do in life. Do good and enjoy yourself. Don't worry about tomorrow. No, I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. In recent times, God has given me understanding. Now, as of today, now, if you not tell me now, as a few months ago, I was still in that group, but I have left it. Now tell me that, they are selling land in that place. It is cheap. It will appreciate later. You can build house later. As of today, banking will not answer you. While you are watching, the money I have for buying that land, you know what I'll do? I will take it, call a party, call everybody. Say, you see that land you talked about? How much did you say it was? 500,000. This is 500,000. We're about to start eating. Sit down, you. Your own portion is coming. We finish blowing it so that you understand that I don't care. Like I told you last night, the price is going up. I said, do I look like I'm going down? Price is going up. Do I look like I'm going down? In Jesus' name, I go up faster than prices can go up. You know why? Because he that is from above is above all. Anything I don't have today, I don't need today. That's all. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We are too afraid. I was afraid too. I have repented. We get better every day. We get better every day. I have gotten even better than I was just 2 months ago. I have discovered there is no security. Listen, let me tell you something. Anything you try to do yourself, God won't do for you. I don't know whether I get my point. If you heard me teach this one before, this is how God does life. I have a job for you. I have a job for me. What I mean is that you and me, assuming now that you are God, I am me. You know what I'm saying? So we start talking. He said, okay, you come and meet. I'm going to come and meet you. Dear Lord, I want to marry. He said, fine. This is your job. Go and ask her to marry you. Do you know something? I can't do that for you. Or I don't want to. I could. But I've given you that job. You give me that job. So I go. I go and meet Sister Ofoma. Say, sister, how now? I speak all the English. Say, I would like you to marry me. Fine. He said, God, say, go away. Now let me do my own job. I don't know whether I get my point. Then I come and persuade her to marry you. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's how God does it. This is how it is in life. This is what I have learned. You know, I said in scripture before, sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. So this is how it works. God gives me some assignments. For example, he doesn't want me to pray that I will, for food for my children. What he says is simple. I have given you money. All right? Give it to your wife. Let her go and shop. Come, prepare it. Just don't forget to give thanks before you start eating. Are you getting the point? So what is my job? My job simply is to take that money, give it to my wife, let her cook, and let us eat. But we must give thanks. Are you getting my point? However, I will now come, maybe he says the bank, how much money is that? I say 50,000. I say, I hope everybody's happy. He says, yes, I'm happy. I now come to him and say, dear Lord, I will need a house of my own. So how much money is there? He said, it's 50,000 naira, sir. Are you getting what I'm saying? So how much money is there? He said, 50,000 naira. Can that buy a house? He said, no. He said, that's not your job. It's my job. I don't know whether I get my point. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. I gave you enough money to meet the responsibilities that I wanted you to meet at a particular time. If I decide that with 50,000 naira you will get a house, don't worry. Just continue. One day you will settle down and you maybe you're at home, then somebody says, would you like to have a house? And he said, yes, I wouldn't mind. He said, all right, how much do you have? He said, if it's money, I don't have. He said, there is this house that's available. If you pay 50,000 naira now, for certain reasons, I'm not going to detail how it can happen, we'll allow you to pay 50,000 naira every month for 3 years. Do you understand what I mean? And then the house is yours. And you look at the house, you like it. Listen. And the cash flow that God has shown you as your bear and your lion that you killed before you met Goliath. You know, Christians like to do things they have never done before in the name of faith. You know, we like to do it. Christians, they make me laugh, you know. You come and say, yeah, we can do it. Our God can do it. Listen, my friend, if it is your personal life alone, let your God do it. I hope you are getting my point. Play your faith with your personal life alone. Don't enter into contract. You can't pay because your God can do it. Some people won't like what I'm saying, but it's the truth. He said, David went to kill Goliath after he had killed a bear and a lion, and he had a story to tell. What I'm trying to say is that if in the last 6 months, all the money you ever saw was 50,000 naira at a time, if they came and gave you that kind of deal, we'll start paying 50,000 naira every month for the next 3 years, don't take it. Are you stupid? Don't take it. I don't know whether you're getting on an explain. No, it's not your portion. I'll just say, wait. Tell the person, don't worry about it. Look, don't worry about it. This is an opportunity. The opportunities, they said, loss can never be regained. You've heard that before? But I also told that it's a lie. It is a lie. God never said it. It's one confused Englishman that said it. What did God say? Let me give you the words of God. The opportunity that comes today and you can't take advantage of it, will go and wait till you are ready for it. That even though David is anointed king at the age of 17, if he can't take the throne, don't worry, we'll keep it until he's 30. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is from there, God commanded the blessings. Blessings are commanded. Bro, hear what I'm saying. If God commands a blessing to you, there is no devil big enough to stop it from getting to you. Do you follow my point? So listen, there's nothing like opportunity comes but once. That is the gospel of a man that is not blessed. Opportunities don't come but once. They come again and again and again and again and again and again and again until I take advantage of them if they are my opportunity. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what people use to put themselves into trouble. You go and make a commitment like that when you have never seen 50,000 regularly for 2 months in your life. The first time, that one is the temptation of the devil. If he looks good, doesn't mean anything. Temptations always look good. There's never a temptation that looks bad. That is why it's called a temptation. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If it looked bad, it wouldn't be called a temptation. Because have you ever been tempted? Do you get my point? To jump into a dirty gutter and swim? An adult? No. What's temptation in it? Have you ever been tempted to steal mud they packed somewhere? Mud. Say, this mud, let's try and steal it. That's not temptation. Temptation is money. Do you understand my point? Start rationalizing that. Like one funny man said, I know it's blood money, but we can anoint it with bigger blood and clean it. That is temptation. That is what? It's temptation. So, something is sweet doesn't mean it's not temptation. In fact, usually, temptations are sweet. I'm trying to explain the principle there. So you look at it and say, God, you have your job, I have my job. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. And that's one thing I have come to understand. Therefore, you know, I tell you all the time, I'm a rich man. You hear me say it a lot of time. I'm a very rich man. Oh God, that is, when I look at myself sometimes, I look so handsome, I start trembling. I feel so happy. I like, my God. God, why didn't you make everybody like me? There will have been no kidnapping, no militancy, nothing like that on this earth. I value my wealth, and to me, it runs into, at least the one I can easily understand, all right? Into a few scores of billions of dollars. That one I can easily conceive of that. And by the time I can conceive in trillions of dollars, it will also, I mean, I'll value it up to that level. So how come, Pastor Van, you don't have a private jet? Where am I flying to? I want to fly to Ituku, where I work. Where am I flying to? No, ask yourself. Where am I flying to? I want to fly to for Bible study. Before I taxi and take off, the person tracking from my house has reached here. Where am I flying to? You know why I don't have a private jet? I don't need one. How do I know the things I don't need? The things I can't afford. I'm telling you the truth. That's how I know the things I don't need. I just check and say, dear Lord, is this your job or mine? I know we are rich, that's not a problem. But is this your job or mine? God was, all right, how much money do you have there? So they said the thing is 6.2 million. Banky, what do you think? Is this my job or your job? He said, Lord, I just want you to confirm that it's your job. I like it also. You arrange it later, right? I said, fine, no problem. So my partner, right, the Lord, all right, will sign the check to release that thing later, right now. You know, it doesn't mean I don't have money. It doesn't mean I'm not rich. It's just that right now, we have thought about it, and it's not the proper time to release 6.2 million. So I'll tell you to go. But if you came and they said, how much? He said, that one, 20,000, and it's good for me. I said, Lord, I think it's good, isn't it? He said, right, I think I should pay for it. He said, go ahead, I've given you the money, and I pay for it. It doesn't mean I'm not rich if I can't pay for it. Let me tell you the truth. There are seasons in life, and there are lessons in life. If you give me 1 billion naira to dispense, I will not be able to learn certain lessons. All this one that Udechukwu sweats over generator, you think that God cannot just give us a bigger one without any problem? No, he can't. No, I've discovered that one. In fact, all right, I have discovered that even if I settle enough and think and pray, the Lord will do it quicker. But why? How will Udechukwu know how to handle generators with issues if he's going to bless somebody else's life tomorrow? If it doesn't go through that, you think I'm the only one God wants to? You think you're the only one? The man has to be blessed by sweating over a faulty generator. It sounds funny, but I'm serious about what I'm saying. You don't know that God arranges events so as to use to bless you later in life. Part of the foundation for the multi-billion dollar company he will preside over is the time he sweated under a faulty generator. And what I'm saying is not supposed to make anybody feel good, as God is my witness. No, this is one place where I don't joke like that. Don't preach to make anybody feel good. It leads to short lives. I've told you I want to marry my wife for a long time. So, you understand what I'm saying? So, I won't lie to you while I'm preaching. Because I will die suddenly, another man will now marry her, and that one will pay me very seriously. Do you understand my point? Exactly as I understand them. I've told you before, relax. In Christ Jesus, your future has been settled. Are you getting my point? Let nobody tell you that the problem you have today is because you have a problem. I don't know that, you know, someone said that because there's no rich man in your family. That's why you're not rich yet. No. The reason is because you have to learn some lessons of poverty presently before God releases the abundance that belongs to you. That's a matter of fact. What have I said in all of these things? Flesh is limited. That's where I began from. It can fail anytime, no matter how plenty material things look like. The Bible says, don't set your minds on it. They can grow wings and go away. Therefore, what do we set our minds on? The Bible says that if our citizenship is from above, therefore we set our minds on what? Heavenly things. Only what God has done in Christ Jesus. That is what we set our minds on. What are the things that God has done in Christ Jesus? I refer to some of our old messages. Remember the one I mentioned? The image of Christ, your place in Christ, training to reign, I forgot to mention that, and destined to reign. Those four cities, all right? Total, I've mentioned that will be more than 20 different messages. But listen to them, you will discover what God indeed has made you in Christ Jesus. I don't want to go over all of that again, but one thing I should say for sure is, number one, I said it before, he took you from a low place, a place of defeat, a place in which you were subject to the antics of the enemy, and put you on a high place. Therefore, you are not subject to the works of the enemy anymore. That's a matter of fact. That is what? A matter of fact. That was what he died to produce. Listen, I told you before, I've been smiling for a very long time. What do I mean? Ever since the time I started smiling, country was hard, at least personally for me. Then, much harder then than it is now. But I discovered long ago that I am not a victim. Are you getting my point? I discovered long ago that God made me a victor in Christ Jesus. I discovered long ago that life is in seasons. Therefore, if it appears like some things are not manifested in my life right now, it is because the season has not yet come. I discovered long ago that in this life I cannot fail. I discovered long ago that failure died with Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? Listen, my confidence always has been what Christ has done in me. And I'm teaching you the same thing again this evening, that your confidence should only be in what Christ has done in you. Listen, the failures of... No, please. Sometimes I don't like saying this, but if we don't say it, people will go and... Somebody will go and confuse them outside. Somebody will come and explain to them that there has been no rich man in your family. Tonight, rich men will begin. Listen. No, he said, what will happen tonight? Because tonight you will do something dangerous so as to kill off the dangerous things in your past. Please don't be angry with me that I'm always saying this thing. But I don't want anybody to take advantage of you. That's why I say it. I have seen people taking advantage of again and again and again and again. People tell me that they want to use one offering to break the back of poverty. And I start laughing. Listen to me. Everybody, listen. One offering does not break the back of poverty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Actually, I'm wrong. One offering does. And that's the offering of Christ Jesus on the cross. That was what broke the back of poverty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What am I saying? The back of your poverty was broken the day you believed in Christ Jesus. That's it. That day, that very day, God said, this one will not fail in life. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Please, this thing I'm saying is very important. That is the confidence with which you face life, so that everything that happens is just a transient passing period. I like what Miles Monroe said, we have seen the end, like God, from the beginning. And the end of the whole story is that I'm a victor. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? No, let me explain something to you. This is one of the expressions somebody used long ago. Many of you here, we like football, all right? So I'm not a football aficionado, but most of us here, we like football, right? Let's assume that, let me annoy some people. I don't know who I'm annoying, but let me just say. Let's assume that Arsenal is beating Man U. I know some Man U fans will be angry. Forget Man U. Let's assume that Enyimba is beating Aqua United. All right? As soon as they are playing, say Enyimba and Aqua United, they are playing. And then Aqua United dribbles. They come near the goal. All right? And you are an Enyimba fan. You get agitated. Your heartbeat goes up. Then when the keeper saves it, you are happy. You are relieved. Is that okay? Then let us assume now, after a while, Aqua United scores 2 goals against your team, Enyimba. You are not happy. So you are really upset. They bring food. No, excuse me, let this game finish. You are watching. But let's assume it's an old match. You didn't watch it when it was live. And a friend of yours just comes and says, is it not this game in which this man played? And the player said, he's the one. He said, don't worry. Anybody returned 4 goals in the last 5 minutes. So are you serious? Yes, now I was there live. I watched it. In fact, this person scored the first one. Second one was in the last, in the extra time, the 20 minutes extra time they gave, that the last goal was delivered. So who finally won? Of course, anybody won. We beat Aqua United 4-2. Are you serious? After that, you go relax. When they dribble, you know, you don't move anymore. Yeah. Go. If it's 4-2, you know, and they've scored 2 already. And then he enters the net. He said, I'm sure it was disallowed. Then look at your friend. What happened? He said, the referee will soon disallow it. Then you see the flag goes up and they point and put the thing down here. It was disallowed. Go, huh? You knew. Then he crossed it. Then finally, 5 minutes to the end. He said, the goal supposed to don't begin now. Then, of course, true to it, the first one goes in, twam. Second one, twam. Third one, twam. They say, wait, they will soon stop. Then they will stop. Then they say, extra time. That's it. They put it down. He said, wait, where's the last one? Twam. What I'm telling you really happened to me. When Nigeria beat Argentina in, I think it was Atlanta 96. I refused to watch the match live. I hate the tension that goes with all this. He won't score. Before man go get heart attack, you know that kind of thing. And God will say, why did you die? He said, Lord, I was watching football. It's not nice at all. Let me make a long story short. Finally, I came out. My friend, I said, how goes the battle? He said, battle is bloody. I said, give me the facts. He said, 3-1, Nigeria and down. I said, yeah, my God. So I went back to go and pray. Shagabala dogos. Meges. Bolo. Tuku. Baga. Baba God. No, it wasn't Argentina, it was Brazil. Sorry, it was Brazil. It was Brazil. It was the semifinals. It was Brazil. I remember the prayer I prayed. I said, God, have you ever been to a samba party? All the nudity there, won't you punish it? I thought this is a real carnival. I said, God, you will punish all the nudity and all this, won't you? I said, but as for us, you will have mercy. You go try. That, those are my prayers. I invoked all the sins that the Brazilians had committed that I was aware of. The only one I knew was that the girls used to dance naked and there was so much immorality at such times. I said, good. God, don't forget that one. Use that one against them. Then the next thing I knew was that, of course, the battle went the way it went. Nigeria finally equalized. And then in the extra time, you know, this is a matter of fact. As soon as Nigeria equalized, I came out to watch the rest. I said, we are going to win. I was so confident that we'll win. She will have equalized. I said, no wahala. I came out, sat down, said, let's watch the rest. The extra time I sat down, I still remember very well. As I think somebody crossed the ball to Amokachi and hit Amokachi on the back. Kanu Wanko grabbed the ball, dribbled one person and whoom! Into the net. I knew that was, I think it was a golden goal. Yes. Boom! As I tell you, I said, we'll go win. Then DBN in Lagos started playing the match again from the beginning. This time around, I sat down. That's the point. This time around, what did I do? I sat down. I watched it from the beginning because the excitement was so much. Ah! We finally, Okpoyo, for the first time, beat Brazil. Not only did we qualify for the finals, we beat Brazil. This invisible Goliath, this David has caught up with him. We're so excited. So DBN was so glad. They started playing the match all over again. So I sat down this time around, crossed my leg, and watched it through and through. Because I knew who won. Are you getting my point? What I have told you is the story of my life and the story of your life. Did I hear an amen? Amen. If you're a victor, give me an amen.
Amen.
If the end of the story is that you won, give me an amen.
Amen.
That is why you can watch the story of your life and not be afraid. Two goes against you, so what? You will soon reply. That this match will not end until you score the final goal. Our strength is not in what we have naturally. Our strength is in only what God has produced for us in Christ Jesus. And that's it. You know what that means? I said that natural identity, there has limitations. This one, there are no limitations. This one, there are what? No limitations. David faced Goliath. What happened to Goliath? Goliath died. A mountain faced Zerubbabel. God sent to Israel, don't worry. It's not by power. It's not by your mind. It's by my spirit. Listen, let me give that thing real, literal meaning. What it means simply is that events will happen. The mountain will collapse. You won't know what happened. Let me tell you a true story that happened in the Bible. Have you been here before? I've heard of the wall of Jericho. You know, a lot of people think the wall of Jericho fell down. The Bible didn't say it fell down, literally. If you study the Hebrew, literally. It didn't fall down. It sank. It sank. The angels cracked the walls around the house of Rahab. Alright? And then they pushed the rest of it into the ground. This was what happened. 1 minute, the Israelites were around the army, so the wall, marching around. Then they began to shout. Once they gave that shout, the next minute, they saw there was no wall anymore between them and Jericho. I don't have time to discuss it, but that was exactly what happened. Those were big walls, because the Bible says that each man went right ahead of him into Jericho. If the walls tumbled like we imagined it did, you couldn't go right ahead of you. You have to first go backwards so that the tumbling wall wouldn't fall down on you. Then you climb over the rubble. The fact is that literal Hebrew said, and the wall went down under itself. That's the literal Hebrew. If you take the Hebrew, transliterate it, say, and the wall went down under itself. The truth is that the wall sank. That is, Joshua, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit. That is, a spiritual force came. Phew! Next thing, there was no wall. Literally, the angels pushed the wall into the ground. And then each man went straight ahead of him. That was exactly what happened. What am I saying? Some of the obstacles that look terrible in our lives. One day, you know what God will do? Phew! Push the thing into the earth. And you will wonder, wait, why did I buy this hammer? And this chisel? Maybe I can get a refund on the tools that I bought. I'm telling you, that's what it means when you say it's not by power or by might, but by the Spirit of God. Listen, it's not, the flesh is what is limited. The spiritual man is not limited. It's not limited. How does it work? God brings resources towards you from every angle, things you did not imagine before. Let me tell you the truth in life. Don't forget that thing I told you. It sounds very simple, but it's a key to enjoyment and to prosperity. Every day in life, God has given you one assignment for that day. Do good, don't ever forget that. Of course, you walk in righteousness at all times, as much as it depends on you. Then you do good, and you enjoy yourself. That's what life is about. I'm telling you, God gives you an assignment for each day. And he said, do good and enjoy yourself. I'm telling you, all you need to do is what? Do good and enjoy. Don't worry about tomorrow. You'll be amazed at what God is going to bring across your way. One day somebody will give me a testimony that he said, Pastor, if you had told me this 3 months ago, I would have thought it was a joke. That is, your life will so change in the space of 3 months, you'll be amazed that, is this possible? According to Gordon's, is maybe this? Are you getting my point? No, really. That's how God works. But don't forget this. Flesh is what is limited. If you want to plot your life according to natural abilities, according to what the flesh can give you, you are saying that I don't want this kind of miracle to happen in my life. That's what you're saying. I hope you're getting my point. You want to boast? Please, boast only. Listen, even if you have what looks like natural advantages, don't mention it when somebody says, so what are you planning to do? He said, you know my father is in, you know. Once you talk like that, you have taken the spirit out. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. You know, bank MDs were removed the other day in Nigeria. You know that? I know the people who will be crying. Ah! Because you were so sure that as soon as you graduate, Shebi, Erastus na your uncle now. Waiting. Your place, as far as you were concerned, was ready in Intercontinental. You were certain. You know, when God is doing things, I know there are people that God disappointed deliberately and by removing some of these people. Because that's the wisdom of God. He knows how to orchestrate events so as to frustrate some people to human imaginations. You have placed your hope on this man. God wanted to remove him 3 years ago. He said, no, this my son is graduating. He has to learn a lesson in life. So as you are there, so you have gone to chase woman because your uncle is an MD. You know that? Those of you who did it, you know what I'm saying. Marrying me, don't worry. Immediately after school, I'll get a very good job. You are so sure. Say, I'm telling you, Clara, what's your problem? I'm telling you that as soon as we leave school, I'm getting a good job. So this wedding will happen. He said, let's just trust God. And yeah, we are trusting God, but I know what I'm saying. You know that kind of but. It's God we are trusting, but I know what I'm saying. No? That as soon as we leave, we are settled. So let us pray, let us pray. The sister, you are looking at the sister, what are we still praying about? Just agree and then let's start getting married. All right. As you are praying, our Father, I thank you because life is good and you are settling me. All you are thinking is that you see, you have made my uncle an MD. Because look at that man of God there. The angel said, we can see him. Frustrate him small. So how do we want? That is uncle. Remove him. First thing you see, your uncle is gone. My God. I go for and say, Clara, I think that my proposal, I want to withdraw it for now. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to me to think twice about my life. The fact is that you wanted to plan marriage based on the fact that you thought you knew somebody. That's called all flesh is what? Grass. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. No, God does that, frustrates people. There's a young man, my junior university, one day came to see me. He said, Pastor Banky, you have to see. So he rushed. He told me the story of his life. This was the one that interested me. He wanted to go to Britain those days. He was striving seriously. He strived all he knew to do. Each time he would go in, he was using almost a whole month's salary to pay for a visa interview once. They would deny him. Finally, he met a man who said, you didn't tell me on time. I know what to do. So we're going to do this. The guy was very rich, connected, said he will fund his account with a lot of British pounds and all of that. And then the man will go for the interview. Let me cut the long story short. The man told him, look, just let me know the day of the interview. The day before the interview, the man died. I'm not joking about that. The man died suddenly. Sudden death came upon him. The man died. That's why he ran and came and met me. And said, Pastor Banky, look, I need to see you. What is going on? He told me the story. I said, what is going on? He said, what do I do? What do you do? You are paid for the... No, listen. He had paid for the visa interview. He had paid. Only to call and tell the man, okay, so everything is ready. They said, who you want to talk to? He said, sorry, we regret to inform you he's dead. Ah, that's when he ran and said, oh God, babe, we get to talk. This was many years ago. I sat him down. So, what are you going to do? I said, there's nothing you can do. You will give the Lord thanks. Pray, you've paid for the visa. Have you not paid? He said, he has paid. Hey, go for the interview. And don't forget, God has a will in your life. The will of God is not always getting what I want. No, not necessarily. So whatever happens as a result is the will of God. And if they deny you again, oh boy, settle down, do your primaries, start residency, and move on with your life. Of course, they went, they denied him again. And you know what I couldn't understand about people that he did not give up striving. Let me tell you something. If you strive long enough, you will get it. Doesn't mean it's a blessing of God. Israel shouted for a king. Out of exasperation, God gave them Saul. He's like, leave me alone. Before all the troubles you have on the earth, spread to heaven. Take your king. I'm telling you, this really happens. I didn't know why the young man couldn't just leave. Because if I were the one, that's the end of it. God would need to drag me from my seat and push me down, put me on a plane and make me fly. If he wants me to still go anywhere. All flesh is what? Grass. But there are people who never imagined that they will go anywhere in the world. Then one day, something happens. A friend of mine told me, I told you the story before. She was not even planning to go abroad anywhere. Now she has traveled several times. But then, somebody said that they are doing this course, you know. They gave her a photocopied version of a photocopy. And that one that was photocopied was probably also photocopied from somewhere. This was a great grand photocopy. You know what I'm saying? And she filled the form and submitted. Of all the thousands of people that have applied nationwide, two people were chosen. Without her doing anything more than filling that form and submitting, she was chosen. To make it in quote worse, her mother-in-law died and they were doing burial, you know, African burial. Everybody's head and money was inside it. She did not even bother to check. And weeks passed and they were looking for her. Finally, one day, somebody said, did you ever check this thing? Say, I even forgot. What is happening? They checked and said she was one of the two people chosen. So he said when she went to the Belgian embassy, they didn't believe this was a Nigerian. That is, we told you, come and take an all-expensive trip to six European countries. We're going for a particular project and stuff. We'll pay you everything. And we have not seen you for 6 weeks or so. He said, please don't be angry. It's my mother-in-law that died. He said, one day her phone rang and it was the Belgian ambassador in her room. He said, to her husband, excuse me, I'm talking to the Belgian ambassador. I'm coming. Now, jokes apart. And the man asked, do you want to come to Abuja to pick your visa or do we courier it to your house? I mean, with ticket, with everything. And they now give them, I think, either €1,000 or $1,000 pocket money. Before then, she was not even planning to go anywhere. Please, I hope you are getting my point. All flesh is what? Grass. When God is ready, he will bless you more than you can ever imagine. Let me add one thing to it before I close. And that's the issue about your identity being unique. Don't forget what I said. I said you get your identity from two places. Number one, your origin. And number two, the calling and the gifts that God has given you in life. I just want to add this one to it before I leave. Because there's a problem we have. It's not really, let me put it like this. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, really, initially. What makes something bad sometimes is when we carry it beyond the sphere that God expected us to use those things. What I mean is this. For me to want to be like somebody else is okay as long as I'm a child. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. It is right for my son to look. I want to be like daddy. That's what God ordained that it should be so that I will walk righteously in his presence. Are you getting my point? You know, everything that somebody is doing, the young people around, they want to copy. Are you following my point? Now, so it's good, but it gets to a point in life where your identity must be marked out. Your uniqueness must be shown. And that's what you call maturity. It's as you are growing that you get to a point where you realize that I can't be like Michael Jackson. I can't sing. I can't dance. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. No, I can't be. I may not even be like my father, because the profession he is doing, it doesn't come out of my system. I lean more towards what my mother does. You know, that kind of thing. It begins to come. Then you find out along the line that you are half of what your mother does, one quarter what your father does, and the rest what your uncle does. And some of it, nobody knows where it started from. And everything mixed together is your unique identity. The problem, let me say this. The problem is that most people can't understand that. So they will try and discourage you. That your gift is too unique. We don't know where you started from. Please don't be afraid to be different from the crowd. Nobody who copies anybody is ever excellent. If you preach like T.D. Jakes, everybody will know you preach like T.D. Jakes. I don't know whether I understand my point. They may be your congregation, they may love you, but they will know that our pastor is so good, he almost sounds exactly like T.D. Jakes. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. No. He said, I like the way that man preaches. He preaches so well, you actually think it is Kenneth Hagin. That is, as good as you are second to somebody. You are following the point I'm making. What am I trying to explain? Don't be afraid to be different in life. It's very vital. The only way you will be marked out in life is if you have something. You know, I told you then that I wanted to do, a spiritual economic empowerment and development strategy season 2. Can you remember it? Yes. Actually, that's one thing I wanted to emphasize in that. Everybody, what brings you out, all right, in life is that you have something unique you want to explain to people. Now, from next week, I'm going to talk about the fruitful life. What do I call it? The fruitful life is a discussion on how Christians get results. Now, the point I'm making from there is this. Is that what God wants to do in your life, like I told you before, is to write a law. You know what I call a law? God wants to show the principle, a part of him that's unique. Because one thing about us, we may be 6 billion currently on the earth, and maybe another 6 billion that had lived before now. You understand what I mean? The 12 billion of us, each one reflects a particular part of God. That's why God is who he is. He's so big. We need to be billions to be able to accurately represent him for this generation to see. Each person is supposed to write a copy of what God is as reflected in his person. That is why you are doing God a disservice. If you go through life and you are a copy of somebody else, you have cheated God in one thing. He has to wait for somebody else to reflect him accurately. He has to rearrange something so that his face can be properly described by people. There are many paths to God. And your assignment is to show one part of him. He has placed that part of himself in you. Listen, there are those who talk in one particular way. That's one way that God talks. You know the way I'm talking right now? It's another way by which God talks. I know what I'm saying. It's a matter of fact. There's a way you will walk. When you're fully developed and the Spirit of Christ is manifested in you, the angels will say, that's exactly how God picks flowers. I don't know whether you get my point. And you are picking flowers. He said, this is exactly how God picks flowers at this particular point in time. You are an exact representation. There is a woman loving her husband. He said, that's just the Spirit of God exactly. Now listen, this is one thing I want to understand. Why God shows that part is so that people coming after you can become more like God by observing that thing. I hope you are getting my point. So each person writes a part of God for the people after him to copy. I don't know whether you understand my point. That is not really copy trying to imitate, but we behold it. Because spiritual transformation is on the basis of beholding. If we see something clearly, let me give an example, generosity. I remember the first time I gave out a certain amount of money. I don't want to say because it's small now. You understand? How did I do it? It is just that I was present and I saw somebody else give out money. An amount that I thought people shouldn't dash people anyhow. And as soon as I saw it, I said, no, me too, I must do it one day. The first opportunity I had, I gave that amount of money. It wasn't much, all right? But for my level then, I was a student. This was enough money to feed me for like a week. I said, so people can dash people this amount of money. So I did. There was a brother once. I told the story, some of us who know the story. He gave Kingdom World Ministries $1 million, you know? And of course, I not even started praying that people, you know, help us with this work to that level. And what was his motivation? He heard that people were doing it. don't know whether I understand my point. He heard people were doing it. So he prayed that, God, you will give me the opportunity. So as God was blessing him one day, he said, God has now finally answered this prayer. So he gathered the money and wired it. It was like, people are doing it. Me too, I can do it. Why not? Me too, I can do it. No, you are getting the point I'm making. That is, what happens is that we show a part of God for other people to behold and they become something. Like when we talk about marriage and all of that, I tell my wife something sometimes. I say, listen, there are two things about you as a person you must understand. Not only are you a woman that wants to be happy, and these are godly principles that beget happiness in a home. Secondly, you are Pastor Banky's wife. A lot of young women will take examples from you on how to treat young their young husbands also. That there are things you will do wrongly, and you'll be amazed at the number of people you are given the liberty to misbehave. And there are things you will do correctly. You'll become, because I know, look, this is not bragging. I'm a teacher. All right? I'm a teacher of the gospel. You have left everything you have to do to come and listen to me for an hour and a half this evening. You know what that means? I'm influencing your life. Whether you like it or not, it's not only the words that I speak. There's the way I behave. It's affecting the way you behave also. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. There's a way you're supposed to do business so that the people after you will learn it. And it's called a face of God. God has many faces. Are you getting my point? There's a way you do your work as a civil servant. And God is not gaining anything personally. He's just saying that the people after you, they will have to copy this thing. This is the only way, this is the only place they will learn that thing from. And that's why I say you mustn't be afraid to be different. Just be sure that you are following what is recorded, that is scriptures now. You're not deviating from it. And within the context of that, you are expressing your uniqueness. I remember when I first started Kingdom World Ministries here. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I've never in my life been to a meeting, all right, where people don't, as a rule, they don't praise and worship to warm up the atmosphere. Somebody just grabs the microphone, prays for 5 minutes. Everybody sits down. Then I walk in and I start teaching. We finish teaching, then we take our announcements and we don't do offering time, blessing time. If somebody blessed today, show your appreciation by giving the Lord a special offering. You know, I don't believe in it. I don't like it. I don't like to do it. Is it evil? No, it is low. Now, get my point. It is what? What did I call it? It is low. Say it now. What did I call it? It's low. Run by low. Adults don't behave like that. Are you getting my point? No, adults don't behave like that. It's when I make you feel happy. You will not give me. I run nonsense. I excite you so that when I think that, maybe I ask Israel, are you sure? Have we paid Omega TV? No. And how, what do we go do now? Say, Pastor, just preach a hot message now. It's all right. Hey, somebody feeling happy today. Woo! JJ Okocha, amen. Praise God. Then, were you excited today? Deep your hand in your pocket. Say the Lord, Lord, I was excited. Oh, this is for your excitement. No, that's childish. It's sometimes pure wickedness. Sometimes it's childish, other times it's pure what? Wickedness. People came to be blessed, not to be excited. They came to have their life directed, not you to come and manipulate them. I hope you get my point. What do I believe? I believe that, look, listen, if something is good and you are like the Shunammite woman, you say, this appears like a servant of God that passes by us every day. Let's build in my house. And that is, if you have the means, and then let us build, you know what I mean? Airtime on Cosmo. Let's build airtime on Omega TV. Let's build pay rent here. You know these things cost money. I don't have to wind you and twist you. And if I need to do that, as God is my witness, obviously I don't need you. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. I hope you're following the principle. All these things, I didn't see people do it. Some of my friends thought that the reason why I didn't used to take off when I go for meetings is because I had money to pay. In fact, one of my friends was counseling with me that, no, he said, I've seen an example. He said, this is a problem I've seen with a lot of preachers like you who work part-time and do ministry. You know, they don't like to take offerings. I didn't know. I said, no, you are making a mistake on my personality. Nobody taught me all of these things. I settled down and observed it. I said, no, we must raise men who truly are men of God. Some of the greatest support we have for Kingdom World Ministries, the people don't come near Enugu at all. What am I saying? Has become a habit, We've done it now for many years, and I can assure you, after a while, it's not people will be copying it necessarily. Some will copy it uselessly, but there are other people that I will liberate from the bondage of, once you want to do ministry, you must go and look for choir. And like, oh, have you seen small church trying to start choir? Oh God, you feel sorry for them. Today we have a special song for you. Do you want a revolution? Who? Who? Oh, yeah. Do you want a revolution? Who? Who? Now you see one attempted Kirk Franklin. I say, hey, pastor, you don't need this choir now. Instead of them blessing you and exciting, you are feeling sorry for them. And you see one boy trying to play keyboard. Pam, 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 goes out of key. You, the invited preacher, you put down your head. Say, my God. Now, really. Some of those people, they wouldn't have done that, except that somebody told them that's the only way to do ministry. That's the only way. The sweat over choir, sweat over organizing. You see the pastor after 1 year, he has lost weight. If you see me lose weight here, it's gym I went to. Or I started dieting. What kingdom work can't give me headache. I was telling the co-workers this morning that, wait, they said Cosmo FM is off air. Pastor, what are we going to do? I said, did we build it? You know that kind of thing. Did we start Cosmo FM? What am I going to do? I have prayed for them. Those of us were here in the morning. We prayed for not only for us, but for those who work there. There are families that depend there on those that place functioning to get their daily bread. So we prayed for them. What are we going to do? There are people who are getting headaches because some of us have not yet described God for them. Are you getting my point? And if you will bother to describe God, you will give liberty into the lives of some people. There are those who can't conceive of ministry, except you gather people on Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made. And even God is not accepting the praise because he knows. No, listen. You know, God is not foolish. You can't deceive him. The Bible says that God is not mocked. So this is your praise. It's not for me. It's so you are waiting. The crowd never plenty. The young man doesn't feel like he should preach until the whole hall is full. Those of you who know me very well, one of us had two people without. I will preach my life out for two people. One of them, my wife. Are you getting my point? Some young men don't know that you can do ministry like that. That you can be an evangelist without trying to gather people by force on Sunday morning. And if they don't come, you are angry. You are not faithful again. You are not faithful. You are not faithful again. You are angry with them. Because you are an evangelist. Who's, you know? You are angry. You don't know you can go and preach. Finish your preaching. Alright? Go back to your home. Or go back to a normal job. Or go and do something else. You can finish your preaching and you finish and then you go home. You don't have to build a tabernacle around every success that you have. You can go and do crusades somewhere, finish, people give your life to Christ, you lead them to another church, say, Pastor, I believe you're a strong man of God, you can handle these new converts. I will be praying for you, I'll visit you like 3 times in a year until they are steady. It's my responsibility to write a part of God for the world to see. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, it is your responsibility. That's where I'm going. To write a particular part of God, a description of God for the earth to see. And that really is what the work of God is. Don't be afraid to be unique in your identity. Don't be afraid of it. Because you owe it to God. God's assignment for your life is so that you will describe him for people. And the fruitfulness of your life is so that you can accurately express God. So that God won't bless you if what you are trying to do is not describing him properly. I hope you understood what I've said today.